You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Tuesday, which we sometimes refer to as Boomer's least favorite day of the week. But it's true.
It is.
You told me that. I can't forget it.
But isn't that Thursday?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wait.
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah, I thought Tuesday was your least favorite day of the week.
Tuesday and Thursday.
Oh,
Lord. I'll take both of them, but mainly Thursday. Tuesday's just the precursor.
Okay.
But it's okay. It's Tuesday. I usually don't mind Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that we've established nothing. Okay. All right, but hey, it's Camel Eve.
It is Camel Eve.
It's Camel Eve. So we'll just keep moving forward. Coming up on, by the way, the long weekend, the Memorial Day weekend, and I suspect that at some point here late in the week, we're going to be focusing on veterans and what it means to remember. But for right now, let me just tell you, man, we got a great show laid on for you today. 3:30 today, State Representative Susan DeBose is going to be calling in. Representative DeBose, you may recall, is the one who has the bill called the What is a Woman Act. Well, it's a heck of a thing to have a bill titled that, right? But she's got a bill that is making its way through the legislative processes in the state legislature right now. And that bill, the What is a Woman Act, is designed to codify in state law what a woman is and to define the safe spaces that a woman is allowed to be in without expecting a man to suddenly walk in and get naked right in front of her or compete in her sports or whatever else. So, yeah, the What is a Woman Act, State Representative Susan DeBose, 3:30 p.m. Stay tuned for that one. And then there's I got a triple dipper here that's going to blow your socks off. Hit it, buddy.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, race baiters and charlatans. What? Yes. Race baiters and charlatans. I mean, they are out there right now. I got stories from inside Alabama and beyond. It's just amazing to me that so often we're told as conservatives, you're a racist, when the reality is the race baiters are often on the left. In fact, I would say they're largely on the left. And they mask what they're doing as good intentions as that's another form of racism. So yeah, we're gonna talk about race baiters and charlatans, number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, here's a long title for you. You ready? Space Command, Abortion, Generals, and Politics. What? Yes. They're all wrapped together right now. They're all intertwined. If you're wondering what's going on with Space Command, we'll talk about it. If you're wondering whether an abortion law has something to do with it, we'll talk about that too. If you're wondering whether or not it really makes a difference in our national defense, if all the generals get their promotion real quick, we'll talk about that. And then we'll also talk about how most of this boils down to politics. That's what it is. But yeah, I'm gonna give you the big picture. What does it all mean? Why are they all out there? And how does the fabric of the whole Space Command issue come together with Space Command, abortion, generals, and politics? Number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, I'm just calling this one, who's the extremist now? Because the things that are happening, you know, with regards to our kids, with regards to the transgender movement, with regards to any number of liberal progressive things that are happening around our state, around our nation, you have to look at it and go, okay, you say you're seeking out extremism. Well, who's the extremist now? We'll talk about it in more detail. Number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me move to my opening comments here for the day. And I got to ask you, first of all, I will say this. What I'm about to go into my comments is tied up right now in a story that is breaking on the news as I'm staring at the screens. We just had the news that it's widely expected that tomorrow afternoon, Ron DeSantis will officially announce his run for the president. And the reports are he's going to announce it on Twitter with Elon Musk. That could be very interesting. But have you listened to the voices of the left lately? I mean, I know it's hard sometimes, but we have to listen sometimes, if for no other reason than to know the lies they tell so we can counter them, right? But what's become apparent is that they are in full panic mode. I mean, the party on the left that preaches diversity, equity, and inclusion, well, they feel trapped right now because they have no choices. The only choice they have is a stodgy old white octogenarian standing at the top of their ticket. Not a lot of diversity going on there. Think about it. How many times have we been preached to in recent years, called racist for opposing liberals' beliefs, told that the party line of the old rich white guys is the Republican Party of all things? Have they looked at the current crop of declared presidential candidates for the Republican Party? I mean, it has to be the most wonderfully diverse group of folks ever to take a debate stage together. It's awesome. Think about it. Former President Donald Trump, a billionaire business tycoon, a real estate developer, a white guy. Nikki Haley, a woman of partial Indian descent, a former governor of South Carolina. Vivek Ramaswamy, a first-generation American of Indian descent who was a CEO of several major corporations. Tim Scott, a black man, and a longtime conservative U.S. senator and an evangelical Christian. Larry Elder, a black man and a conservative pundit who hosts a radio show in liberal California. Asa Hutchinson, a white man and a former governor of Arkansas. And it's also firmly believed that Vice President Mike Pence, who is also a governor and a congressman, and current Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who I just talked about, who served in Congress as a member of the Freedom Caucus, of all things, as well as having a career in the Navy, that both of them will also likely enter the race. So set aside how you feel about any one of those candidates. Just step back and take a look at them as a field of candidates, a group, a whole slate. What an amazingly qualified and highly diverse group of leaders. There is not a one of them who hasn't earned their stripes in the arena or led a business or a major branch of executive branch of government. And oh, by the way, that ticket I just cited has male, female, various ethnicities, first-generation Americans, old and young. So who's the party with the most diversity now? Well, in the truest sense, you'd have to say the Republican Party wins that discussion hands down. But to be honest, I don't believe this is a new thing. I mean, that may be the 2024 slate of presidential candidates, but I also believe that what I just described is the way of conservatism. To be more open, to be more direct, to be filled up with folks who are willing defenders of truth and not afraid to face their enemies. So I've got a book on my shelf about the conservative movement. It's really a primer in a sense. It's a primer in how to get it done, how to move the cause forward. It's an education of a sense, and it comes straight from the mouths of some of the great thinkers and politicos who have spent time in the trenches. The book is designed to not just show how the voices of conservative hung in there, but also how they got their message out, how to showcase the fact that the conservative movement, though, is not all a stovepiped, monolithic group of elitists from one select background. Not at all. The book is called Big Tent. The author of the book is Mallory Factor, who was a professor at the Citadel. Every chapter is a different personalized essay in the words of great minds like William F. Buckley and Barry Goldwater, with topics like the Reagan Revolution and modern conservative principles. The book highlights the way that conservatives, with all their diversity, true diversity, have stood for four major principles over the years: liberty, tradition and order, rule of law, and belief in God. Hear them again, four major principles that conservatives have stood for years. Number one, liberty. Number two, tradition and order. Number three, the rule of law. And number four, belief in God. Knowing that those are the pillars of conservatism, is it any wonder that we attract such a broad swath of society to the fold? We do indeed have a big tent. It is filled with folks who believe staunchly, who stand bravely, who fight resolutely, and who speak directly to preserve those basic liberties that we all enjoy as Americans. Things like freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom of assembly, among others. Conservatism attracts folks from all backgrounds because it seeks in part to preserve the traditions and the values and the good order of society that has made this country such a force on the world stage. We didn't get here as a nation because we abandoned who we are as a people. Quite the contrary, we got here because we honored our legacy and preserved our values. We have a diverse group of folks in the conservative movement who believe that the rule of law is meaningful, that crime is crime and due to be punished, that a legally binding arrangement should be enforceable, that speech and protest are important but not to be conflated with riots. And the conservative movement honors God, in part because of the honoring of religious liberties, but also because a large tract of the members of the conservative cause believe and trust and walk in that belief that there is a God, and He is sovereign, and that we know that we are not Him. It's certainly true that in the conservative movement, we have some groupings, some clubs and associations, some factions, if you will, that can bring their own flavor to the conservative smorgasbord. I mean, the book Big Tent points out that we have paleocons, neocons, evangelicals, traditionalists, libertarians, foreign policy hawks and isolationists, academics and activists, supply-siders and gold-standardists, the Tea Party, and, of course, the MAGA, the ultra-MAGA, and I would add the right-side ruffians. But in the end, we remain far more diverse with a far bigger tent, but yet based upon a compass that in the end gives us true north as opposed to the fickle winds of society that set up the progressive left to find a way to accommodate every new norm, fad, and fashion statement in an effort that they can be all things to all people without doing any more but to tear down that which has always worked. Conservatives believe that truth matters, that there's no middle road for truth. Truth just is. Truth remains. The progressive left would have you to believe there is no truth, that what you make of it is truth. And therefore, in essence, their perverse view of what diversity means leads them to the point that they try to stand for everything, but in the end, they stand for nothing. You see, we do have a big tent as conservatives. Diversity really is what conservatives have always been about. Everyone is welcome does not always mean, though, that anything goes. Not in our big tent. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Yeah, I'm serious. You know, the interesting thing is while we have factions and styles and personalities and things that might differ, I think the conservative movement, by and large, has been based upon a principle and an unwavering essence of developing and defending truth. Whereas on the liberal side, they have nothing to stand on because they stand for everything, which makes them pretty much prone to blowing over in the wind. Well, that being said, we have the best slate of candidates I think I have ever seen for president next year. I'm encouraged. Any one of them will be good. I can't wait to see how this goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we got so much content for today's show. I'm thinking, how do I mean, even the titles of the dippers are longer than usual. So
I did tell you that earlier. You I was did. Like, the titles are really long, so I couldn't memorize them.
I know. It's going to be fun when you put them up for the podcast. Yeah. You're like, oh, hey, this is the whole. Anyway, yeah. But that's just a clear indication of the fact that we got a lot to talk about. Text lines are open, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You want to text it in, you want to call it in, same number, 833-68-RIGHT. And by the way, if you text in for the very first time, remember to text the word right side. And when you do, you'll get an automated message back that says something like, hey, you right side ruffian, thanks for joining in and tell us your first name, where you're from. And then we'll plug you in the system with the scads, with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that are now in our system, which is crazy to me, by the way, but crazy cool. Anyway, Tony from Piedmont just texted in, you know, Bravo Zulu, he says on the opening statement. I appreciate you, man. So, the breaking news right now, which is a great segue from my monologue there where I talk about the big tent and what conservatives believe and what we stand for. But at the same time, look at the people. I mean, look at the actual people that are at our ticket. And I granted, I know that Republican and conservative don't always go hand in hand. I get it. There are Republicans who are not conservative, and there are some of those Republicans who are in that slate that aren't super conservative, Asa Hutchinson being one. Although Asa Hutchinson, he made his bones, man. The guy was not known for being more than a moderate, but he also, I think he presided over the Bill Clinton impeachment trial. Anyway, all that to say, tomorrow we are looking at Ron DeSantis getting in. He will be an immediate top-tier candidate. I mean, this just from the moment he comes out, he will be. I mean, he's already polling at the number two spot behind Trump, even without being a candidate. So, I mean, there has yet to be a major poll done about the presidential race that did not include his name because everybody expected him to get in. So he's been real cagey, but he's been out there making the rounds. You know, got a book that was published recently. It's obvious that Trump is after him because the Trump PACs have already been running negative campaign ads against DeSantis, even though he's not a candidate until tomorrow, it looks like. So what we're seeing right now is Fox News is one of many reporting that tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, which is 5 p.m. Alabama, that on Twitter, during a conversation with Elon Musk, that he will announce his candidacy. So I find it very interesting. What does it mean? What does it mean that Elon Musk, weigh in if you want to, Boom, what does it mean that Elon Musk is actually going to be in the scenario with him?
I don't know. I'm really interested. I think part of it, I think we were discussing it a little bit earlier, is that, I mean, Elon Musk, Twitter, the biggest now free speech area in the world.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, Elon Musk, the richest man in the world. And then he has all this now publicity where he can just, if he's like meshed up with, you know, Elon Musk, everybody that likes Elon Musk is now going to like DeSantis.
That's very likely. And we'll also see, plus if you get down to it, think about this. I just thought of this while you were talking. Not that I wasn't listening, but I was, but I was trying to think and listen at the same time. You know, Trump is a billionaire who owns his own social media platform. Elon Musk, multi-billionaire, owns his own social media platform, which is in direct competition with, and truthfully, here's the other thing too. The question has always been, will Trump get back on Twitter? Because, you know, he was banned for a while.
Right.
Will he get back on Twitter? Well, now will he want to, since Twitter is where the DeSantis. Hosting of the DeSantis announcement took place.
I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting.
The mind runs amok when you think of all this stuff. But don't tell me it's not planned. I mean, this is well orchestrated. This is a thing. And so yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
So is this like the start of all the campaigns? Is this like after you announce they can start campaigning? Is that correct?
Yeah, they can't. There's certain things they cannot do.
Okay.
Like for instance, even right down to as the governor of the state of Florida, he cannot do campaign business on state property. So he has to, and I know for a fact there was a place in Montgomery that was like a private office that Governor Ivey used to go and meet with her campaign team because she couldn't do it on the Capitol grounds, and rightfully so. And it gets hard. Like Trump, when he was president, he still flew around in Air Force One, right?
Right.
I mean, you got to. But to some degree, you got to keep a bright line. So yeah, there's going to be things that start happening now that couldn't happen before, and that didn't have to happen before. And then fundraising takes on a whole new deal. And then people start, you know, calling him for interviews, but he has to separate his time from his governance time. You know, some of the other candidates like Vivek Ramaswamy, Tim Scott's going to face this. He's a senator, so he's going to face this. He can't do anything in his Senate offices related to his campaign.
Got it.
But Vivek Ramaswamy, he's a private guy. He can do whatever he wants, wherever he wants. So it's, you know, it's that fine dance they
got
to do.
Got it.
It's going to be interesting. Tomorrow, we're looking at an announcement from Ron DeSantis. And, brother, it's going to be game on at that point. But what a field. What a slate. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.